Blog Talk Radio.
It's almost time.
You right there with the pretzel. Time to sit down.
Cruise, man. Yeah.
Hey, you going to the concession stand. You going to the bathroom. Come back. The show's about to start.
Got my boys. We out here ready. We about to be some high-flying, high-slamming, slammer-jammer, three-point shooting between the legs, behind your back, through your legs, on your neck. Hey, everybody, if you guys can get in your seats, I'm going to sing the national anthem.
Ready.
It's honor. It's time to... I put it down the babies, put down the pepperoni.
Let's go!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, game time!
Well, parents, there's another Parents Coach to Parents Network Blog Talk Radio show. I'm your host, M.H. Scott. And as always, I promise you another wonderful show. We're going to be doing talking about some interesting things this afternoon. And as always, I recommend and suggest to you that you go out and get your pen and paper together and be prepared to take some real good notes, because we're going to have some very good, interesting conversation and dialogue going on this afternoon. And hopefully you'll be able to call in and join us on this call today as we're talking about something that may apply to you and your child as a student athlete. You know, as always, I have a special guest that's going to call in, and that guest is going to bring some insight from a different perspective. You know, I'm not going to give it to you from the parent's perspective today. I'm going to give it to you from another side of things, somebody that's connected to academia a little bit and have something else to share as far as, you know, how things are done out there in the world. But as always, you know, I can't start the show without going in and giving my man, Mr. Keith Wright, some props on his little song. You know, Keith put this together for me, as I have to respect that and go ahead and let Keith do his thing. Where you at, Keith?
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-ball would do the same. I can't complain the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friend. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, let them hate then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart moves. That's how I do.
As he says, he's making smart cool. He's making smart cool. Like I said, Keith has played up at University of Harvard over the last 4 years, and now I believe he'll be playing in the Portsmouth Invitational this coming week. So if you get a chance to get out there and you're in the area, you're in the Virginia area and Portsmouth area specifically, stop by, check the young man out, and tell him that you heard something on the PCP Network and let him know that his little piece of music is also getting out there just as his game is getting out there. But as always, parents, you know, I like to share a little something with you. And I've been pondering this thought here for the last few days or so, and actually last few weeks or so, should I really say. And it kind of caught my attention and really grabbed me in the wrong way as I listened to a lot of these young men that decide after 1 year of college, they're going to turn in their college jerseys or, you know, do what they got to do and turn around and decide to move on to try to play at the next level. Now, as you all know, and if you had a chance to read the dialogue that I stated at the beginning of the show, it really talks about how this came about back in 2005 when the young men were at the point of being accepted straight from college into, or should I say, straight from high school into the NBA world. And I thought that was a big mistake at that time. And as time went on, we see that that may still be something in question. Well, shortly after that, someone at the NCAA level along with the NBA decided, okay, well, we'll make them go to college at least for 1 year. And when they made that decision, again, I thought that was a bad decision. But, again, I'm only one person and probably thinking the same way as many of you parents out there are thinking. But until we actually get together and put our thoughts and minds and action together, then we're just sitting there thinking it. Well, hopefully we will, at some point in time, have a chance to really dialogue on this conversation. You know, you can always call in here to the show today at 646-929-2416, 646-929-2416. Well, I told you I had a guest on the phone today with us that's going to bring us some true insight on that one-and-done situation. Actually, my guest today has recently wrote a blog, and I believe it came out on the 9th, and it she'll be able to tell us a little bit more about it. And it's a very good blog. Get a chance, you go out there, check it out. It's on sportmanagementnow.com, sport, without the S, managementnow.com. And it's written by Dr. Danielle White. Danielle White is a visiting professor, I think that's correct. Hopefully I ain't messing up her title too bad. A visiting professor at North Florida University and been there for a good little time now, and she has a very, very deep understanding for the sports industry. Why? Because she's not only a professor with some knowledge of it, but she's also a former athlete and have worked in academic administration at major university. So, without further ado, let's see if our guest is still on the line with us today, and we can bring her on up. Hey, Dr. White, are you out there?
Yes, I am. I'm right here.
Hello,
with Scott.
There.
How are
Hello
you?
Hello there. I'm doing just great. How are you today?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful, sunshiny day down here in Jacksonville, Florida, and I'm enjoying it.
Okay, don't rub it in, because it's kind of cold up here. So let's get away from that part. But tell us a little bit more about yourself. I know I had a very short intro, but tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Well, as you said, I'm a visiting assistant professor of sport management here at the University of North Florida. I accepted the position knowing that it was a visiting, which means that at the end of this semester, my career in academia is over as far as faculty is concerned. Prior to that, I had been a department chairperson at a small rural school in North Carolina by the name of Chowan University. Previous to that, I had been program coordinator of sport management at Claflin University in Orangeburg, South Carolina. And I started my career in academia on the faculty side at George Mason University in Fairfax, Virginia, where I actually was the initial coordinator, curriculum development advisor for the sport management program that is now there. As you said, I was a former athlete. I attended the Ohio State University. Let me rephrase that, the Ohio State University, with all the attitude that, yes, with all the attitude that goes with that. Go Buckeyes. I got my master's at Xavier of Ohio in Cincinnati, and my master's is in sport administration. And I got my PhD from the Florida State University here in Florida, in the capital city of Tallahassee. So I have been widely traveled in pursuit of my career in sport. And when you mentioned my blog, you know, this has been something that has been, I guess you can say, prevalent, because as you mentioned in the blog, I address the one-and-done situation from three perspectives, that as a former athlete, as a former athletic administrator, and now as a faculty member. And I think that it's from those different perspectives that, you know, I come away with a perhaps shocking view of the one and done situation. And I say shocking because given my background, I believe some would expect me to go along with the one and done and, you know, all the accolades that go with that.
Okay. Well, you brought up the subject of the one and done, and we talked a little bit about it, and I think that's what everybody calling in for this afternoon want to hear and want to discuss. Again, give us a call if you got a chance at 646-929-2416. Love to hear your thoughts and your views and your comments on this one and done subject. But Dr. White and I, we're going to start this thing off. Well, give me, you know, why do you think these young men pursue that option of one and done?
Well, I believe they pursue the option of one and done because that's the only option presented to them. Other than the young man, I want to say Brandon Jennings. Is that his name, Brandon Jennings?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Other than Brandon Jennings, that's the option that has been presented, where if you want to go to the NBA, if you believe that you're talented enough to go to the NBA, then you have to go at least 1 year of college or the 19-year-old age limit. That's the reason why they pursue that. And we're talking about, you know, a group of individuals who as early as perhaps, say, what, third, fourth grade, began playing the sport of basketball and developed a love for it, the game, a passion for the game, and that love and that passion along with their physical talents led them to believe that they could pursue and one day attain a professional career as an NBA player.
Yeah, you know, I understand that, and but I look at it, you know, there are a whole lot of other young men out there that have that passion and have that desire to play at the next level, but there are many of them that choose to stay in college, you know, the full 4 years, you know, at least 3 years and obtain a degree. I have to highlight a young man that I'm very proud of, and I know his family is very proud of him, a young man that did 3 years in college at the University of Kentucky, and I'll go ahead and just throw it out there because, you know, Kentucky is one of the ones that's being very putting the spotlight over this one-and-done situation. But let's go back a few years where you have a young man by the name of Patrick Patterson. Patrick Patterson started in 2007 at the University of Kentucky, played all 3 years, and at the end of his third year, decided that he was going to enter into the NBA draft. His parents and everyone else that knows him had no problem with that because at the end of that third year, Patrick had obtained his degree in business and was the first student athlete from the University of Kentucky to do it in 3 years, walk away with the degree, and be able to jump into a lottery pick in the first round of the NBA draft in 2010. So hats off to that young man. But, you know, how many of them young men don't have that education background behind them enough to even understand their own contract? That's one of my concerns. Let's talk about that for a little while, Doc.
Well, see, I'm going to come from the perspective of as a faculty member, okay?
Okay.
With my response to that. While a young person may come away, you know, with a degree, it really is a matter of what is the intrinsic motivation. Patrick Patterson, do we know, I mean, what can you tell me about why he determined that he wanted to stay at the University of Kentucky and complete his degree and be a lottery pick? Because his background, a lot goes into whether or not an individual determines that he or she wants to complete a degree. It has to be a lot of self-motivation in that decision, number one. Because on the other hand, I could throw out there and say, are we not making a mockery of higher education by saying that the only way you can go to the MBA is that you go and sit in two semesters of coursework just so that you can now make that leap into the MBA. Are we making a mockery of the college experience? Because, because while raising the limit to 19 years old, did that further equip, say, Derrick Rose or Kevin Durant or anyone else, did that further equip them to be able to read their contract? They still would need to be relying upon a lawyer, agent, representative to read the contract to them, to decipher it and break it down to where they could understand it.
Oh, I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. You know, that was one of my biggest questions, biggest fears, biggest concerns because, you know, these young men, they are so eager, and I'm hoping it's not the simple fact of chasing the dollar. I understand some of them have, you know, families that have financial problems and things like that, but just imagine what benefit they could have done to their family or for their family had they had that additional education behind them and now being able to step out there and make that extra money.
Well, I guess I'm just going to be the devil's advocate today. And the reason why I say that is because let's look at our economy. How many college graduates are coming out every year with no jobs?
True.
Okay. So are we saying that they would have better prepared their families or better supply, you know, provided for their families if they stayed? What happens if they get hurt?
Well, what I'm saying is, okay, knowing that you have the potential to get drafted.
Okay.
And now you add that into having your degree. To me, you're on track to be the next Magic Johnson. And
okay.
I can't fault what Magic is doing right now. But Magic is a straight-up businessman.
Correct.
Magic is not at the point of having to rely on anybody, to my knowledge, to walk him through or spoon-feed him or hold his hand during the time that he's out there making the deals and decisions that he's making. That's what I want these young men to aspire towards. And they have to have something driving them other than that financial gain.
Okay. Let me throw out this question then.
Always.
Why do so many students go to college? Do they go to college to get a degree just because it's a wonderful thing to get, or do they go to college to get a degree because they believe that that degree will lead to a career where they will make money?
Well, I think I will hope that they go and thinking that it would lead to a career that they will make money, whether or not they enter corporate America and end up being employed somewhere, or whether or not they go the other route where they decide to create their own job at the end of the day.
Okay.
But having that degree, and now you've created your job of being a professional basketball player, that's a win-win situation.
Okay. I agree it's a win-win situation, but I guess I'm looking at the career path and the career choices of basketball players at the same level as I do the opportunities that would have been presented to perhaps Steve Jobs, who did not graduate from college, or Bill Gates, who did not graduate from college. They had technical abilities to build computers that landed them into billionaire statuses.
I can't argue with that point. I cannot argue with that point. If I'm not mistaken, I don't even think Mark Zuckerberg finished up either after he took off with Facebook. He may have, but if I'm not mistaken, I think he actually decided to continue on with Facebook at the height of its prime.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand that, and I'm not faulting them for that. That's why I'm so interested to see where or what's going to happen at the end of these young men's career. I'm actually going to start tracking them from this point all the ones that I know that entered the draft in 2006, mm-hmm. 2007, until today, that went one and done, or in the case of the young man that went overseas and decided to come back and play, tracking them and see what happens with their careers at the end of playing ball, at the end of their career of playing sports, what happens? Leading on to the next part of our conversation.
Okay.
You know, what are some of the things that athletes need to focus on after they finish playing sports? And I know that's something that you're very high on.
Right. As a matter of fact, that's what my company, Development After Sports, focuses on, preparing athletes to transition to successful careers after their playing careers are done. I believe that in order to ensure a successful transition, as when I say successful, I'm talking about if you overcome in any way, then you are successful. Okay? So with that in mind, I say that, number one, if we do not want the athletes to wind up broke and homeless on the street, okay, which we're talking about basketball, but I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio, and one of the most heartbreaking scenes for me was to actually see world-class champion boxer Aaron Pryor on the street.
Okay.
Aaron Pryor, you know, and because we can take this discussion to baseball.
Oh, yes.
We can take this discussion to boxing. We can take this discussion to tennis. We can take this discussion to golf. And I will always go back to that the only reason why this is of such an importance and people bring up the need for degrees is because in the sports of basketball and football, those are the revenue sports.
True.
And when it comes down to making decisions about one and done, or in the case of the NFL, because I've even heard where Mark Cuban wants it to be where, you know, similar to the NFL. You have to wait 3 years until, I want to say, what is it, your high school class would have graduated from college.
Okay. Go ahead.
Oh, so what I'm saying is that only in the revenue sports are we seeing this emphasis on the need to either be number one, 19, or, you know, as far as the NBA, and now they're talking about 20.
Yes, yeah.
Okay? I'm going to tell you my take on this. My take on it is that prior to the age limit, the current age limit, okay, the NCAA had been lobbying to the NBA to raise the age limit because the NCAA's biggest revenue-producing product is March Madness.
Yes.
And when you're negotiating with CBS and various networks to broadcast March Madness, if there is a perception that the talent that you are showcasing, that you're saying, this is our brand, this is the NCAA's brand, if that talent is perceived by CBS as not being the top quality talent for college players because the top quality is now in the NBA, you cannot command the prices from CBS. If there's a perception that your brand is not of top quality, then you cannot demand top price.
That's right.
So for me, when I look at the one and done, I look at it as this is perhaps a concession made between the NBA and the NCAA to strengthen both brands.
Well, you know, I think the NCAA is trying to push it up. Bump it up to it at a minimum of 2 years. I think that was the last conversation I heard.
Yes.
With the new chairman, president of the NCAA, that they were trying to push it up to at a minimum of 2 years. You know, you look at football, and they realize, okay, we can't let them kids come out after 1 year. I don't care how fast, how smart, how strong, how, whatever they are, after 1 year in football is not going to work. Because
correct.
You
football
get out
is
there,
a totally different sport. That's a contact sport.
Yes. Well, basketball is contact to some degree, and I understand what you're saying about, you know, the body has to develop because the body's going to take some banging and bruising. All the well true. And I think it should be like that across the board with all the sports. You know, even baseball. Baseball is not at that one-and-done situation. You know, in baseball, you can probably go straight from high school still into at least the minor leagues, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said, I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio, where, you know, you have baseball greats that went straight from high school to the pros.
Yes.
Okay. Very seldom will you find baseball players who graduate from college. And I'm saying seldom, and I'm just going off the top of my head. You know, a young man who's going into the Hall of Fame, Barry Larkin. Barry Larkin is one of the few that I know of who graduated from college, but that's because of Barry's family. Okay? The Larkin family believes in education. And I'm not saying that other baseball players' families don't believe in education, but the emphasis on baseball, and baseball is an entity unto itself. I mean, come on now, that's the only sport that, you know, is protected from the antitrust rule.
Yes.
So
okay.
We don't, you know, we pretty much don't bother baseball. We just leave them intact. However, with football and basketball, again, and I bring it back to, you know, the college arena. Those are the two revenue sports. You look at the amount of money that the BCS bowl games bring into the conferences. You look at the amount of money that the NCAA brings in through the CBS March Madness contract.
Okay?
And how? And look at that revenue distribution. That right there, I teach the business of sport. Maybe
okay.
That's the way I look at it, the way I do, because I do teach the business of sport, and it is a business.
Exactly. The only thing I say is that,
okay, if we want to ensure that the individuals, you know, coming out can read their contracts and they don't wind up broke in the end, then it is up to the institutions, meaning whether it's college, whether it's the NBA. But at some point, take responsibility for perhaps require for the basketball players a set of, you know, a course of studies whereby they have to demonstrate that they are able to understand the financial pitfalls of being a professional athlete.
Well, it's interesting that you say that because the NBA does require. And I've experienced this and seen this for myself.
Mm-hmm.
When they bring in a lot of these kids that they perceive to be the one and done, they bring them into the top 100 camp every year.
Mm-hmm.
And at that top 100 camp, these kids are required to sign an agreement saying that they will pursue or complete their education, you know, if they are drafted earlier. You know, earlier than their, you know, due time for them to graduate. If they are drafted prior to college graduation, then they will pursue their education and complete their education. And these agreements are actually kept on file with the NBA Players Association.
Okay.
Now, the question would be, and I may even try to push to try to get one of them young ladies on the phone with us, on the show with us real soon here, to find out what the success rate, you know, how many of these guys are still out there still pursuing their education, or have they just decided, well, I'll get around to it when I get around to it, or I'll get around to it, you know, after I'm done playing. You know, if I'm not mistaken, and I have a copy of the agreement because I kept a copy for my son, but I want to think back and realize and say that I think it has to be done during their actual playing time.
Okay, so you're saying that. That's what I was going to ask. I was going to ask, okay, what's the limit? Are they saying that it has to be done during the off seasons? By say, if you're one and done, then by the off season of year five of your career, then you will have completed your degree.
Well, I don't know. I have to go back and take a look at it, and then we can kick that information around.
Okay.
As I'm pursuing trying to get someone from Players Association on the show with us to break
okay.
that down for us, to give us a little bit more insight on how that actually takes place. Now, let's go back to something that you were talking about a second ago. You were talking
mm-hmm.
about a couple of different things. One, we was talking about the major revenue sports, football and basketball. We all know
mm-hmm.
that's how that is, and money drives those sports. And sad to say, the money drives those sports, whether or not you at the college level, whether or not you at the professional level.
Money drives those sports at the youth level.
Exactly. But that's the sad part of it, and you know, give me your thoughts on that. But that's the sad part of it, because it's almost as though you have threw out that carrot in front of these young kids' face.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're going after it, you know, with a great hunger to try to catch up with that carrot. And it's a never-ending story. And just as we look at some of these situations and Antoine Jameson and some of these other guys that was out there, and I just read about Warren Sapp last week filing bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
At what point in time does these young men realize that, okay, I need to get a better understanding of this business and understand how this money plays into everything so I'll have something at the end of the day? You know, going into the second part of what I was going to say, how do your business or your organization prepare them when you talk about after sports, life after sports, or development after sports?
Well, I bring it very close to home. And when I say
okay.
bring it very close to home, I highlight, okay, look at this player, okay? Let's look at what leads to someone filing bankruptcy after having millions of dollars. And it's really a mentality. It's a mindset. A person can be in possession. We see it all the time. Somebody can win Mega Millions and somehow within 5 years wind up back in the poverty state that they were in before they bought that lottery ticket. So it's about a mindset. And I believe that when we are cultivating our youth, and especially if we have them in a captive audience of athletics, and they want to impress and be seen and all those things, then I think that that's the time to really begin looking at their mindsets. How do you view a career? How do you view, spending money? I can remember an episode, one of my favorite episodes of The Cosby Show, and Theo was talking about, you know, being an adult, and Theo wanted to quit school and get a job. We're talking about hype, you know, he wanted to quit school. So rather than, you know, go through this whole argument, and I know we're talking about, you know, La La Land of the Hustables, but it was a very clear message in that, and that was, okay, without a high school diploma, these are your options. You're going to make minimum wage. Making minimum wage, go through the newspaper, find you an apartment. How are you going to pay? Those are very real necessary activities that parents, coaches, youth sport league directors, all the way up through the professional leagues, those are the necessary steps that need to go into cultivating the total athlete.
Okay. And you just hit right back where I wanted us to go on this. You know, at what age level do we start preparing our children for that. And I want to give you a second. I want to go ahead and throw in a quick plug and make sure that if somebody wants to call in, they can give us a call at 646-929-2416, 646-929-2416. And also, let's see what's going on here.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents. Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents. Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
Okay, we're back with Dr. Danielle White, and she's giving us some insight from the academia side of things on this one-and-done issue. And now we're trying to wrap up here and talk about, at what age level should we start thinking about what happens after sports?
I believe the first introduction. I'm talking about, say, you sign your child up for the bitty ball league at the Boys and Girls Club.
Okay.
I'm serious. It's never too soon to start because you have to catch people where they are, okay? Going back to initially when I talked about the various perspectives that I wrote the blog about in my message to underclassmen, as an athletic administrator in D1 athletics, whenever a student athlete came to me for the first time in athletic academic support, I did not impose on that athlete my views about what they should want as far as education. I met them where they were. So if Johnny came to me and said, look, Doc, I only plan on being here 1 year, and then I'm going to the NBA. So I'd say, okay, now understand that in order for you to be here, you have to focus on the student aspect of student-athlete.
Mm-hmm.
I stress the fact that you filled out an application to get into the institution. So whether or not you take that seriously or not, you won't be one and done if you're ineligible to be on the floor where you are. So wherever that person is when they come to me, that's where I meet them, and then we begin to build from there. Because I look at it as this. You coach people to where they want to be. And if they say they want to be one and done, then okay. Now, what are you going to prepare for during that time? So throughout that relationship of that 1 year, say they're only in school 1 year, throughout the relationship of that 1 year, I really truly believe that it was my responsibility to coach them on the aspect of being a professional.
Exactly.
So at the first introduction, like with youth, when I deal with youth athletes, I talk about the next level. I'm not talking about the next level meaning the NBA. I'm talking about, okay, so you're the phenom of the Boys and Girls Club. Now you're about to go to middle school. You have to try out for your middle school team. What's going to make you – what is it going to make you more of a pick than, say, Dante over there? So it's always about preparing for the next level. From middle school, I emphasize – the need for understanding the clearinghouse. Leave middle school prepared to go into those courses that will get you to the next level. Say, from middle school to high school, you need to know what courses are approved by the clearinghouse, that you're making your progress so that at the end of your high school career, you will be highly recruited if that is where your talent takes you. So, again, meeting them where they are and focusing on what is it that motivates this child, and then working with that child so that it becomes more of they are invested in the process. They have to be invested in that process.
Well, you know, not only them being invested in the process, but, you know, oftentimes I see a lot of parents is not truly invested in the process. Parents seem to think that they could just sit back in a lot of cases and rely on that coach or that summer league coach or some wannabe runner or whoever involved in that process. But we're not gonna go into that. That's a whole new different conversation that we
That's a totally another 30-45 minute segment.
Yes, 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 of course. But give us, how can we reach you, or how can folks reach you if they have some additional questions or other information, or tell us a little bit about some things that you have coming up.
Okay. Like yourself, I'll be launching a radio show on Blog Talk Radio called Development After Sports. My inaugural episode will be on Monday, April 23rd at noon, focusing on holistic sports. And some folks may say, well, what is that? And that's exactly what I've been talking about, and that is, you know, ensuring that the athlete is balanced mentally, physically, and emotionally so that they can prepare themselves for each level of their competitive lives. I have a blog. Again, I blog on sportmanagementnow.com. I also have a blog called Dr. Daniel Mincy White at blogspot.com. And on there, I blog about the many issues and the challenges that individuals, not just athletes, but individuals face as they meet the challenges of life and they want to overcome those challenges in life and developing the mindset to do so.
What was that second blog that you gave? You got to slow that down a little bit.
Okay. It's all one word, Dr. Danielle Mincy White.
Okay.
Dot blogspot, blogspot.com.
Okay, got it.
Okay. And the name of the blog is The Ocean Method. And ocean, each letter stands for a process. With O meaning overcoming, C challenging, E emotions, A attitudes, N negativity. And those overcoming those challenging emotions, attitudes, and negativity will remove those blocks that individuals have that hinder your optimal performance, whether it's within sports, your profession, personal, you name it. Overcoming, that's the key.
All right.
My email, if anyone has questions, you can email me, and that's Dr. Dam, yes, D-A-M, White, W-H-I-T, at gmail.com. And I'd love to, it's Dr. Dam, D-A-M, White, at gmail.com.
All right. Well, I think we've had a nice, good conversation here today. We truly appreciate you calling in and sharing your information with us, and we look forward to hearing your show on the 23rd at noon, and definitely we'll be having you back on the air with us because we have several things to talk about.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We definitely do. And I thank you for the opportunity because I am all about collaboration, and I believe that there is enough out there for everyone to be world-class champions.
All right, Doc. We thank you for that closing note. And on that note, as always, I'd like to close out with my man, Mr. Keith Wright. Take us out, Keith.
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know what would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friend. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating dead. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands and in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and the knowledge opportunity.